Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. This is the Three Good Things Podcast. I'm your old pal, Rob. And this is Friday, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and kittens, friends and neighbors all across the fruited plain and around the big blue marble. It is another perfect day because you are here and it is now. All of the rest of that is human nonsense. Today, as we so often do, we find ourselves in a state of disagreement as a nation. It's kind of been that way for a long time, but that's all right. Pretty much the whole, 300 years or so. But I think what we've done is, as I've traversed the highways and byways of the beautiful central Texas backcountry, I find myself in a little bit of a state, because the disagreement that we go through today is different than what we used to do. We used to have real disagreements and even fights. I mean, you look back, even in basketball, Larry Bird and some of those folks who were openly hostile to people like Bill Laimbeer. I mean, I just saw, and I'm reminded of this because I just saw a highlight clip of that where, they were going at each other all game. But at the end of it, I mean, there still might be some bad blood, but you can disagree. We've lost the ability, it seems to me, to be able to disagree in ways that preserve our friendships and our relationships. And so we're breaking ourselves in half, it seems. So this is a primer, and I'm going to do another one on it because I think it's important, and I think it's almost critical, right? Because we've forgotten how to fight as humans, as people, as Americans, we've forgotten. Because we immediately dig our heels in and go tribal and stick up for whatever group that we're most closely attached to. But let me be clear. The people in charge of those groups, whether it's liberal or conservative, whether it's whatever it is, wherever you happen to exist on the political spectrum, if you are part of a larger group, there are more than likely people in control of that group. And the people in control of that group are concerned with gaining and maintaining their own power. They're not concerned with you or with what happens to you. So the idea that we are meant to, what's the word I'm looking for, be this way, we're not. The internet is a big problem, right? But we are constantly being manipulated. I mean, constantly, no matter where we look, any social media is just a way to gather and manipulate people, which I get, because sometimes you want to manipulate them into buying your product or your service and all that kind of stuff. And that's just being a good salesperson, right? But when we get past that, when we get to the point where we're breaking off families and we're breaking off friendships and we're breaking off all of these different parts of ourselves to stand our ground, so to speak, for the thing that we claim to, quote, believe in, end quote. I can't be the only person who thinks this way or sees this, but I'm the only one I've ever heard talk about it. Why don't we fight better? Why can't we be more agreeable, even in disagreement? Now, there's not really an agreement. There's not really a middle ground when you say X person shouldn't exist, right? There's no middle ground for absolute fascism or absolute racism or any of that stuff. There's no middle ground for the kind of stuff that we fought in World War II and that we tried to fight in Vietnam and there's no room for that, right? However, That's not where we're at. That's nowhere where we're close to being. Even as conservative as you might believe, just because somebody disagrees with your particular lifestyle does not mean they want you eliminated or destroyed. There are people who do want that, and those people are on the fringes. Okay? Simple disagreement and you believe that something shouldn't be taught to children or done to children is not eradicating you as an individual or eliminating you as an individual or saying that you shouldn't exist. It's just an opinion, just like yours. Your opinion is no more valid than mine. Mine is no more valid than yours. It's very simple. But somehow, we've become threatened by the idea that somebody else might say, well, I don't believe we ought to be teaching LGBT things to school kids. Well, you can believe what you'd like. It's certainly your right to believe whatever it is that you wish. But you don't get to say that I have to believe that. You don't force me into believing anything. And nobody's trying. That's the beautiful part. Nobody's trying to force you to believe anything. But they're saying the things that they believe. Right? And even when you talk about politics or people online or people on the news or whatever it is, if you're talking about disagreement with a particular mindset, lifestyle, whatever, what you're really talking about is, hey, you know what? I disagree with this thing, and that's where my head is on it. There's no need to go to war with this person or cancel this person because they disagree with what I agree with. They dislike what I like. Even a figure as controversial as Jordan Peterson, right, said that he did not find the plus size model attractive. I did, but he didn't. And all of a sudden, it's fat phobia is bad and it's wrong. Listen, I've been fat my whole life. You shouldn't be. It's dangerous for your health. He's right about a lot of that stuff. As clumsily as it was brought across, he's right. Not everybody is beautiful to everybody. It's real simple, and it's okay. I know people don't like the way I look, and some people do. Some people don't like the way that model looks. I, for one, do. But it doesn't matter if I express that opinion. It's not law. It's not rule. Opinion isn't required. Your opinion that everybody should be, it's everything should be inclusive, everything should be fully diverse. No, absolutely fucking not. You can't tell me that I have to like something that I don't like. Neither can I tell you you have to agree with something that I agree with. Simple as that. But we've forgotten that. Any resistance at all to a narrative that it currently exists, any mainstream narrative, any resistance to a mainstream narrative means that you're against that person or against that individual or against that group. When you just have an opinion to express, when you just have a thing to say. Now, it's different when we talk, when we hear from our leaders and when we hear from lawmakers and things like that. It's a little bit different. And I understand that too. But I refuse to believe, and I certainly refuse to give any credence to the fact that we should destroy people just because of what they think or believe. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no fucking sense. It doesn't. It really doesn't. We have to be careful about that stuff because we do it. We do it all the time. So it stands to reason to me that the primer here is we can argue, we can fight, we can disagree. But we have to, when things are important, when they're critical, right? We have to come together and fight for those important things. Now you may think something's important, I may think something's important, whatever. We can agree on what's important and what isn't, or disagree on that too. But for the essential things that happen in our nation, in our country, with our kids, in our institutions, we should all be kind of on the same page for that stuff. And we've learned over the last 3.5 years or so that our leadership, our government leadership, is pretty consistently found wanting on either side of the aisle. You know, the lawmakers in Florida today have backed DeSantis's plan to ship migrants to quote-unquote liberal cities or sanctuary cities. That's a horrible use of Florida's taxpayer dollars. But Republicans and Democrats especially these days are just the starkest of hypocrites. Both of them are differently but equally horrible for the long-term success of the nation. That said, we can agree that both have some decency about them, and both have some decent ideas. We can agree with that. We don't have to agree with every single thing each one of them says. But admitting that somebody that you disagree with has a good point is the first step in fighting with them, in disagreeing with them. It's the very first step you take because you want to know. You want to know what's going to happen every single time you sit down, right? But you don't. It's a lot of it's irrational, isn't it? A lot of it's a big challenge. A lot of it is ridiculous. You know what I mean? But the harshest truth that I can share with anybody is that as righteous as you may feel in your opinion, it means fuck all. Now you have, just like this platform, you have a platform wherever you want it, basically, right? Until you reach a certain level of fame and fortune with your platform, and then when it's disagreed with, that platform is brought down because the folks currently in control don't like that. Let's get clear about something here. Right now, that's liberals, Democrats, whatever you want to call them, progressives, you know, deplatforming, you know, morons like Tate or platform, or, you know, or Twitter or any of that stuff. That's them right now. Is they were trying to do that. They're trying to rack that stuff up, right? And you know, and misinformation and things like news guards, stuff like that, right? That's all things that the left wants to do. Want to make sure we get the stamp out disinformation or misinformation, right? Well, turns out a lot of the misinformation that we were dealing with in COVID, some of it was actually true. Stuff that was called misinformation was actually true. You know, the lab leak thing, even if it's accidental, not like China set this onto the world, but just a clumsy lab worker with some, runs into the wet market with, COVID on his coat. And next thing you know, the whole world shuts down. Oopsie poopsie. Like, it's possible that that's true, and we're investigating that now as if it's real. But we couldn't even talk about it in the beginning of the pandemic. But you better believe, as we watch the rights of women being taken away from them, their reproductive rights, Republicans will do the exact same thing. The fact of the matter is, Republicans, Democrats alike, left or liberal and conservative alike, are only trying to stop the things that they disagree with. Okay, whatever those things are, Republicans, Democrat, or Republicans or conservatives disagree with abortion, but agree with gun control. Democrats agree with gun control, or liberals agree with gun control, and agree with abortion. So, like, but everybody's trying to fight these fights, and the only people getting screwed are you and me. Why? Because they keep us in a state of conflict, and we've forgotten how to have that conflict. So this is episode one about how to fight. And this is kind of the backstory, right? And I'm dealing with this from a political perspective, but it's true almost universally that when we are kept at each other's throats constantly, We're not looking at what's happening anywhere else. And when we stop looking at all of that stuff, what happens when we stop looking is they get away with murder. And by they, I mean the people in charge, the leadership, the whatever you want to call them, the elected officials, whatever it is that you want to call them, they get away with murder. Sometimes literally. Well, I got to tell you, we can stop that by learning how to fight better as a country, as a people. You know, I'm a child of the 80s. And to a certain degree, the 90s. And I remember the Miracle on Ice when the U.S. hockey team beat Russia. And nobody thought that was possible. Now, you want to talk about propaganda? Holy shit. Unbelievable. Total propaganda, right? But even that, there were people who couldn't care less about hockey, but we're backing the U.S. hockey team because it was American. America is a place that is very unique among countries. And we are... we're not, you know, there is no such thing as the best country because every place has its problems. But here we have it pretty good. And it's okay to admit that. And it's also okay to admit when things are faulty. We can admit that too. It's okay for faults to happen. It's okay to have faults. In fact, it's critical to have faults because they exist. It's critical to note them, right? You have to be able to note your faults so that you can correct them. You know, you, how do you fix them if you don't know they exist, right? Well, if you can't admit that they exist because you're too busy fighting somebody else and pointing out somebody else's flaws, well, look to the log in your own eye, right? Look to the problems in your own house. Don't tell me I smell like smoke when your house is on fire. And it falls back to that 100%. You have to be courageous enough to admit when you've got your own problems and start to fix those. This is the beginning. This is the primer. How you should, how I should, how we all should, in my opinion, come to the fight, no matter what the fight is with an open mind, an open heart, an open soul, and in the ability to accept things that we disagree with as true for somebody else, and then seek the solution that absolutely nobody wants. It's called compromise. Maybe you've heard of it. You're not, compromise is not surrender. Compromise is compromise. Simple, isn't it? Not always. Not always. So this is the first one. Think about that. Think about the things that I've said so far. And as we get a little bit closer into next week, we'll put another one out and we'll talk about that. Please feel free to reach out. I talked to a couple of you guys and talked to a few folks, and it's good to do that. You know, to bring things forward. And so I just want to know where you think you stand. Where do you stand on fighting? Where do you stand on conflict among those in the same country? Because if you look at our closest ally in the world, which is Britain, with a deep irony, they have had generations of real strife and real trouble during World War II and what followed, during World War I and what followed, during World Wars I and II and what followed each one of those. I mean, their cities got literally bombed by armies. I mean, and yet today, the majority of them, many of them, when things go sideways, God save the Queen, right? God save the King. They're Britons through and through. So, what's wrong with us that we've lost our ability to be patriotic? which is what solves that problem. It's okay to love your country. I'm going to say this to you as someone who does, but I don't ignore our history. I know we have a sordid history. Every country that exists has a sordid history. You will never find a country that is in existence today that does not have its cities and its borders built on a mountain of bones and an ocean of blood. That's just how these things happen. Now, does that continue to happen now? No, not really. Does it need to? No. Because we can think now. We don't have to go immediately to war. But we're getting to that point where we're going to be pretty close to being immediately at war. And I can't wrap my head around it because we know what avoids it. We know how to stop it. We just can't stop getting out of our own way. We're so far up our own ass that we can't see what we're doing to ourselves. We need to find a way to awaken and come to terms with our own reality. Maybe we get there soon, maybe we don't, I don't know. But this is how we start. We sit down and we talk about things and we get things done. So this is How to Disagree, Volume 1, How We Fight, Why We Fight. How to Disagree, Volume 1. Friends and neighbors, boys and girls, cats and kittens, ladies and gentlemen, all across this fruited plain and the big blue marble, thank you very much for your time and your trouble. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. This has been the Three Good Things podcast. I am your old pal, Rob, and you know what I want. I want you to go forth and be excellent to each other. To the degree that you can, be excellent to each other, and be well, and be safe, and until next time, friends, bye-bye.